Join me as we pray.
Our Father, we just praise You this morning. As we approach Your Word and as we approach the beginning of our study on Lord's Prayer, I just pray, Lord, that You would open up our hearts and minds. I pray that this church might be a praying church. I pray that we might be a praying people. In Jesus' name, amen. As we begin our study of the Lord's Prayer this morning, I thought that it would be appropriate to begin reciting the prayer. You'll find the King James Version in your bulletin this morning. Let's stand and recite the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. We just recited some of the most wonderful and beautiful verses of all the Bible. But I would submit to you this morning that the church in America is deficient in its prayer life. The average American Christian uses their prayer life to promote their own self-interest and their own desires. And it is my desire that as we search these scriptures over the next coming months, that we'd come to appreciate our prayer life and become a mighty people of prayer. So as we begin our study, let me first point out the obvious. The words and teaching of the Lord's Prayer is taught by the very person who gives us access to the throne room of heaven and God Himself. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah 53, starting in the 12th verse. Isaiah 53, verse 12. It reads, "Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." My friends, this intercession that Christ makes for us started at the cross, and it continues this very moment in the throne room of heaven. And in fact, this intercession allows us to come before His throne of grace with boldness. As we study the Lord's Prayer, another portion of Isaiah 53 came to my mind as I prepared for our study this morning. In Isaiah 53, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground." At the time of the first coming of Jesus Christ, the nation of Israel was spiritually dry as a bone. The priests were corrupt. The nation was under occupation. And with all this dryness, with this lack of interest, Jesus Christ came to this earth. And the disciples witnessed the freshness and power of Jesus Christ. And through witnessing His power, the disciples asked the Lord, "Teach us to pray." Shouldn't that be our attitude? I think if we were all honest with one another this morning, we would say that our prayer life needs improvement. The disciples said, "Teach us." And the Lord did. He taught this beautiful prayer And as we look at the prayer and to set the outline that we will cover, and I say months, and I'm not exaggerating because we're just doing two words this morning. But as you study the Lord's Prayer has a preface, it has seven petitions, and it has a conclusion. And as Christ begins teaching the prayer, He begins with two words, Our Father. And those two words have such rich meaning in the context of prayer, it's where we're going to spend the balance of our time this morning. Christ first says, Our Father, because God is the creator of the universe. Turn with me to Malachi 2:10. Malachi chapter 2, verse 10. It says, Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously with one another by profaning the covenant of our fathers? We all have one Father, don't we? We all have one Creator. And as we address the Lord as our Father, we are addressing Him as the Creator and Lord of all. Psalm 95:6 says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. When you and I pray, we kneel and address the Creator of the universe. That's special, isn't it? That's special. I grow wearisome of people who want to paint a casual picture of God. Our modern church in America today has lost the deep reverence of being able to address the Creator and Maker of all. He is Lord, He is Father, He is Maker. It's His creation. It's not ours. Everything's His. He's the Creator. That's part of the aspect when we pray, Our Father. But not only are we pointing out to God as our Creator by saying that He is our Father, but we're also pointing out that as the redeemed of Christ, it shows that we have a special unity with the Holy Trinity. Turn with me to John chapter 20. As you turn to John chapter 20, Jesus Christ has conquered death, paid our sin debt in the 20th chapter of John. And Mary Magdalene sees her resurrected Lord. And in verse 16, she says, Rabboni, which is Master. Jesus says, Touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascended unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. See that? Christ pays the sin debt, and He says, He's my Father. He's your Father. He's my God. He's your God. As we bow before God and say, Our Father, we point to the special relationship that we have. We don't address a cold and impersonal God. We've been adopted. We are in His family. Turn with me to Galatians 4. Galatians chapter 4. Starting in verse 1, it says, Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. as sons. That makes prayer special, doesn't it? As we approach the throne of God, we call Him Father. He's not cold. He's not impersonal. But we approach Him as a child of God. Only through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been redeemed. We have been adopted. Ephesians 1 has a similar theme. Verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us as adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glory, of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved." We've been adopted. As we approach Him, we say, "Father." We're in the family. And as we are in the family, we should cherish the ability to access a holy and righteous God. A holy and righteous God who loves us and cares for us, who sent His Son for us so that we might have life. This adoption into God's family means that we have access to the love of God. It points to a familial relationship, a perfect family relationship. We live in a world, unfortunately, of broken and disjointed family. You see that all the time, don't you? In fact, it's an epidemic. You just have to talk to your friends. And everybody can point to a dysfunctional family. And when you talk to people that come from a dysfunctional family, sometimes they carry a heavy burden. But I'm here to tell you that through the message and gospel of Jesus Christ, we all have a perfect heavenly Father who loves us and cares for us. You may not have that, or may know people who may not have a good family relationship. But we, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, are able to say, "But you got the best one. You got the perfect one." And through that perfect relationship, which is not built on coldness, it's not built on the works of the law, but it's built on grace, we have access to the love of God. Turn with me to Romans 8. Romans 8, starting in verse 12, points out to the love of God that we have in the family relationship. It says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." We're children. We're heirs of the King. Isn't that awesome? Now, I want to ask you something. When you talk about family relationships, if you have a healthy relationship, that means frequent communication. You should be able to tell your father and your mother anything. And it should be frequent. Now, put this over to a spiritual application. Think about your prayer life. What are you praying about? How often are you praying? Are your prayers defined by self-interest? Are your prayers infrequent? Are your prayers kingdom-minded? See, we have this wonderful gift that is only accessible through the blood of Jesus Christ. See, I'll submit to you that the vast majority of the church's problems today is a lack of prayer. Evangelism is hindered because of a lack of prayer. Sin is in the church because of a lack of prayer. False doctrine is in the church because of a lack of prayer. My friends, everybody sits around and wrings their hands about the state of the world, but the state of the world isn't going to change until the church gets right. And there are a lot of churches today that aren't right. And we have this wonderful access to God that's available through the blood of Jesus Christ. He bore our sin debt. He paid the price. And we casually take advantage of prayer. We should be praying individuals, not for what we want materially. Yes, God knows our needs, and it's okay to pray for needs. But God in America has become the celestial Santa Claus. He's a doting old man that just accepts sin, and we get to ask Him whatever we want. Climb up on His knee, say your brief list, and then wait for it to happen. That's not prayer. And the proper prayer starts with the acknowledgement of who He is. He's our Creator. He's our Maker. He's our Heavenly Father. And then next, we call Him our Father because we become partakers in His divine nature. He's our Father because we partake in His divine nature. Turn with me to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1 reads, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We're partakers. We call Him Father because through the indwelling of the Spirit, through the cleansing of our sins, we start taking on the character of God Himself. Can you look at your children and see characteristics of yourself? Absolutely, right? Now, here's the difference. With our kids, we can see the good, and then sometimes we say, I wish they wouldn't have gotten that from me. I wish they wouldn't have gotten that habit. That doesn't happen with God, does it? Because we can only get good things from God. And we call Him Father because we start looking like Him. I remember one time years ago, I was walking down the aisle, and there was this lady with a baby. And I must have looked like her husband because the little boy started pointing his finger at me going, Dad, Dad, Dad. She said, no, 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 not your dad, not your dad. That's what the world should be doing. They should be looking at us and saying, there's something different about you. You live your life differently. You talk differently. You act differently. What's the difference? What's the difference? See, as we live that life, as we become partakers in the divine nature through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we're able to get down on our knees and approach His throne and say, Father, Father. Isn't that wonderful? Should we take that for granted? We shouldn't, should we? What a precious promise. My friend, the world doesn't have too much prayer. You notice that when Jesus Christ taught the prayer, He also used the word our Father, plural. By saying our Father, it also points to the special relationship that you and I have with one another. If we're brothers and sisters in Christ, brothers and sisters, my, how times have changed. I remember growing up in church and everyone was addressed brother and sister. And then we let the world tell us that that was old fashioned. But we are brothers and sisters, aren't we? We shouldn't let the world steal that from us. We have a special bond, don't we? But I'm going to tell you something that I firmly believe. That special bond is strengthened when we pray together. I'm not talking about one person leading in a corporate prayer. I'm talking about praying with one another. I even plan on telling this story, and I hope I can tell it without getting too emotional. Wednesday night after Wednesday night, I prayed with Felix Newman. He was faithful. And I remember sometimes I get discouraged in my ministry, and I would look out, and there was that red truck, and we prayed together. And my friends, some of the greatest gifts that I have in ministry here in this church was praying with Felix Newman, because he was a faithful person of prayer. I tell you, if you pray with people, you get a deep personal relationship, not based upon the friendship of the world, but you get it based upon the blood of Jesus Christ. This congregation needs to be prayer warriors together. It's tough out there, isn't it? It's tough. You turn on the TV, it's horrible. You hear stories in our community, it's bad. And when I was a kid, this room used to be called the sanctuary. The sanctuary where brothers and sisters came and met together and they lifted up their voice in prayer. In prayer. It's an example to our kids. This last year, a person passed that was in our church in Tyler growing up, Brother Malone. And growing up on Wednesday nights, having corporate prayer service, when churches all across the country still had corporate Wednesday night prayer service. When I was a kid, you played after Wednesday night service. Back then, men would stand up and pray around the congregation. And Brother Malone prayed a very long time. And I remember as a kid sitting there thinking, hey, I'm ready to go play. And then Brother Malone would start praying. And, oh, no, I'm not going to get to play for a long time. But then as I grew up and as my walk deepened, those were precious prayers. And I wrote him a letter after my dad died because I saw him at the funeral. And I wrote him a letter and I said, you don't know what those prayers have come to mean to me. And your faithfulness, and your example, and your witness. We're not islands to ourselves, are we? We're not here just having a cold, impersonal relationship with one another and having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer is the barometer of a healthy church and a healthy walk. As the church was established in Acts 2, Verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And in prayers. Saying our Father not only recognizes God as the Creator, not only recognizes Him as our spiritual Father, not only recognizes that we share in the divine nature, but it also recognizes that together we have a special privilege to come together and pray. We do not need to take that lightly. And what my hope is in this series is that you and I will become people of prayer. Not to get what we want, but that we will be kingdom-minded and recognize and appreciate this precious promise that we have to approach His throne with boldness. Will you please stand with me? If you will, just bow your head and close your eyes. Take an inventory of this last week. Did you pray? What was your prayer about? Are you kingdom-minded? Are you uncomfortable in praying? Are you uncomfortable in praying with other people? Let me tell you something. We're joint heirs. We're brothers and sisters. We're in His kingdom. There's not one person here that should be embarrassed about praying together. You may have come from a different background, and you might be worried about saying the right things, doing it the right way. Give that up. We're brothers and sisters. We're to love one another, care for one another, pray together. The church of the living God offers a relationship with Himself and other people that you cannot get anywhere else. And I'd like to challenge you this morning to really start thinking about your prayer life. Take a close look at it. Be truthful with yourself. You may not be able to come up with the right words to say in a witnessing situation. You might feel uncomfortable teaching. You might feel uncomfortable singing. But my friends, we can all pray. And it is a mighty tool in the kingdom of God. Our Father, I just praise You this morning that through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have access to Your throne. And I just pray that we don't have to be afraid, that we can be bold, and we can call You Father. We can call You Father individually and collectively. We can come together as brothers and sisters, shoulder to shoulder, and bear one another's burdens, lift up each other's petitions to God, and know that You are in control, that You love us and that You care for us, and that we can rest in Your sovereignty. I pray that this might be a praying church. I pray that we might be a praying people. I pray that we might be dedicated to seeking how You can use us in this community. In Jesus' name, amen.